Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything. I'm Molly.
And I'm Pete.
This is our fifth episode of this new version of our podcast. We were breaking down Hallmark Christmas movies, which we will do again starting pretty soon, October, I guess. But now we're just talking about other things in between.
Yes.
So we really appreciate everybody who's listened, and we always appreciate when you follow up with us about things that we've talked about. So now WGN is going to be keeping up with our numbers. So if you have friends that you think might like this podcast, I like listening to podcasts where people are just having conversations and you feel like you get to know them. So even if you aren't friends with us already, you can get to know us through the podcast.
Right, exactly. So yeah, tell your friends, tell your enemies,
coworkers.
Post it on Facebook.
Spread the word.
Although I feel I need to work on promoting it as well, because I really don't promote it anywhere. You post it on Facebook. I sometimes share it. I sometimes comment on it. I should love it, but I only like it.
We're both on social media a lot. We're both like looking at our phones a lot, and I'm concerned about the amount of time that I'm on social media. And I'm looking at my phone, and I'm, you know, for work, I'm posting things. Personally, I'm posting things. I post things for the rescue that we work with. I do running stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot. And so this week I learned that I have physical evidence of how much I'm looking at my phone, and it's disturbing to me.
Your eyes are going bad.
No. So I went to get my hair cut, and I'm really sad because Jessica, who cuts my hair, is our friend, and she's lots of things. She's a ceramicist in the city. She's a dog lover, and she's just a special person, and she's moving. So this is the last time she was cutting my hair. So I was sad, but I showed her where there was like kind of a weird length bit on the side of my head that it was like too long to sort of like, you know, I'll put my hair like in a bun or a ponytail and have like part bits that hang down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sort of next to my bangs. But this was like a weird clump, but it was too short to like pull back. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, she wouldn't have cut this length. I don't understand. How did this happen? Mm-hmm. What is this? What's going on here? Am I doing something not doing with this what I should be? What's happening? But it didn't occur to me that it could have just been broken off, but that's what it was. So, and I have it on both sides. So she was showing me that these bits, this or sizable amount of hair, is totally like frayed on the ends. And she's like, are you using a flat iron? I'm like, no. We're trying to like think about all these things, like what could have caused this? And she's asking about how I dry my hair. And I was like, oh, when I'm standing in the bathroom, drying my hair, I have like my phone, because I'll be listening to a podcast or something like that. While I'm drying my hair, I'm just standing there drying my hair. And then I like check my email or check my Instagram or my WhatsApp or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And I stand there and I just let the super hot hair dryer fry my hair.
Wow.
And I've noticed a burning smell. So
you noticed this before?
I noticed the burning smell, but I didn't like put all the things together.
So you noticed a burning smell, but you didn't realize
I thought maybe it was just like
hot blow dryer that's blowing on your face.
Sometimes like hair will get stuck in a blow dryer, or it'll just be dusty or whatever. We have a lot of animals. There's like a lot of, there's just a lot of, fur, hair, whatever, around. We're always battling. Yeah, it exists. So I thought like maybe there's just something stuck in the hair dryer and that's what's burning. But no, it was my actual hair that was burning. I'm guessing this is what it was.
And you're blaming this because
I'm standing and looking at Instagram or Facebook or whatever while I'm drying my hair, and I'm just not realizing.
Like
I'm just holding the hair dryer in one spot and burning my hair. And it all, to me, that's what it is. It all like comes together and makes sense, and we solved it. So now I have to I can't do that anymore. I have to change how I have to follow a protocol for how to dry my hair, and now I have to like use a bunch of products to like get this to start like working on strengthening my hair, growing it. I mean, I have long hair, and there's like a major part of it that is short now. So now I have to also to make it even more embarrassing, I have to go to somebody new. So this is one thing. first bit of homework is I'm looking for somebody new to cut my hair. So if anybody has a recommendation, I've got some recommendations, but I could always use more because I'm really nervous about going to somebody else now.
Of course, it's important.
So now I have to tell that new person, like, okay, you might notice that this bit,
Instagram.
I don't know what I would explain. I can just say this part is, if you notice this, I'm trying to like grow it back. I don't have to totally get into the details.
You don't have to get into details. Let her speculate.
So it was like
something medical.
I've already been feeling like I needed to take a break from social media, and apparently you're supposed to take a month. Like, people take weeks off here and there.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, to really get the benefit from it, you're supposed to take an entire month off, which I don't know how I do that.
I've seen people in my feed do that, and they announce.
Yes, so that's one thing you can say, like, I'm taking a break. You can email me if you need to reach me, and this is what's, you know, don't worry about me.
Because with your social media, it's also part of your business. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it kind of goes hand in hand, and that's what makes it a little bit more difficult to just give up.
Yeah. So I see people who use social media for work take a week off. So a week seems doable, but what if like a week doesn't, you don't really get the benefit from it. It's just like, seems kind of pointless then. So I've got to figure out when I'm going to do that. And the hair thing was a wake up call that I need to chill it with the phone.
to be honest, there's plenty of people that I follow that I wish would take a month off. I could get away for them for about a month.
You could also just unfollow. You could take a month off of them.
I know, but like, we've talked about this where I am a perpetual liker of things, and I'll like it. I'll like the same photo on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, I'll always like the photos.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this before, that like I have a very curated, if mm-hmm. we're just, let's just say Instagram, I have a very curated feed, and I want it to be like inspiring, and yours is just a real mishmash of things. And so we have a thing where like somebody posts something that is totally, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they post that. And you show it to, you make me, I'm trying to not look at this stuff, and you show it to me, and I'm like, you owe me $50 for showing me that.
I have a lot of people in my feed posting about, you know, Instagram owns your photos.
But you were talking about how somebody's showing you something like that they were impressed with or they liked, but they hadn't actually liked it.
Yeah. And that's a thing that I've noticed in your feed, when you're scrolling through feeds, you'll your Instagram feed, you'll look and you'll look at the photo, you'll spend some time on it, make it larger, look at some detail, and then you just flip by it without liking it. Like, you spent this much time without liking it. And Justin from, you know, the Extension 720, the show that I work on, he was telling me Mike O'Brien, the comedian from Chicago, was on SNL. He was on AP Bio, or the showrunner AP Bio. He was doing the color commentary for the White Sox game last week. And he was telling me about it. He's like, oh, do you follow Michael Bryan on Instagram? I'm like, no, I don't think so. So he's like, oh, you got to. Look, he was showing me all these. He's like, oh, there's one video where he's like doing stand-up, and he's showing me all these great videos of him, and I noticed that he didn't like any of them. So he's telling me how great these videos are, yet he didn't like any of them. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the rationale for that. I do understand curating my feed, and that yours is just like the dump of everything. there's no rhyme or reason. Like, some things are great, some things are terrible. Like, there's just no rhyme or reason to your feed. It's really all over the place.
And I don't want to diminish your posts. You know, by me liking it does mean that I'm looking at it and I care that I like it. Yeah. So, you know, I've been criticized for, like, you just like every, like, even you'll say something about liking it, like, that your like doesn't mean anything because you like everything. Like, my likes mean something.
It means that you saw the photo.
or that's like a lot of what you'll say is like, oh, did you see that dog at One Tail at a Time that you know, just got rescued? I'm like, I don't think. And then you're, well, you liked it.
Yes, that happens a lot. There's no retention because you just like everything. So
I just saw a cute picture of a dog. I would hit
that,
like,
that happens to, a
I
lot.
I didn't have to read the whole post.
This happens a lot.
So are you going to give up? Are you giving up?
I'm going to. I just have to
find a time that.
Yeah, because so we're going out of town. We're going to New York this week, and I thought like, oh, okay, maybe I'll take a week off then. But then I think I want to. We're going to the U.S. Open. We're going to a Cubs Mets game. I'm gonna go running in New York. We're gonna eat good food and see art and be with our friends in New York.
It's the thing that people want to see on social media.
Well, it's just like things that are fun to post. Instead of just like, everyday stuff. So, and I always like to look at what people do on vacation and make a note of it. Like, oh, that restaurant looked good. Yeah. I want to go there. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like probably everywhere we eat is going to be because I saw somebody post about it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to post. And then I want also to, which I guess actually you could post, but not be actually on social media. You could
just post and
yeah,
not look,
but not
at,
like,
what,
look at
what anybody
things.
Else.
But it still takes time.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to, like, I use Instagram for research a lot too. So I want to be able to use it. So maybe it's the week after, but then it's Renegade. This is really hard. This is Renegade, and then I have a marathon. And it's,
yeah. And
so maybe it's like the week between. I'm running a marathon September 14th. I'm running Chicago October 13th. Maybe it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, I suggested after the Chicago marathon and before things start heating up for Christmas, like between the marathon,
like,
and Thanksgiving.
I should just be able to be like, okay, I'm dropping. So, okay, here's a second homework number two. We should write this down.
If
you've taken a social media break, how did you do it? Did you just that day? Because I feel like it's one of those things where, like, I'm going to go on a diet, but let me make sure I eat this whole cake first.
Yeah,
or, you know,
yeah.
Like, should I just be like, this is, I'm burning my hair. Mm-hmm. I just need to stop right now. Or do you plan it into things? Because I feel like there's always going to be some reason why I can't do it, and I just need to do it.
If you're currently in a social media break right now, you can send us a letter to tell us that you're
yeah, that's right.
P.O. Box 421-734.
But I just like that idea of, like, okay, let's have a challenge and let's meet it.
Right, yeah.
And let's feel like this thing that's like this burden that's hanging over us, let's tackle that and feel how it, like, makes us feel better. But
yeah,
the end of it.
You'll always come up with an excuse to why you need it. So just do it.
Just do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Like during Lent, when I used to give up things for Lent, I'd, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to give up Diet Right this month. You know, I never had Diet Right anyway. So, like, what's the point? You know, you really got to tackle.
I'm going to stop eating Cadbury eggs this month.
So,
yeah, we're going to New York.
Yeah. I'm excited because we're going to see a couple of days of the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna go see the Cubs and Mets. And we've talked about this. This is our second tennis/Cubs trip.
Yeah.
And next year, the Blue Jays are playing the Cubs during one of the tennis tournaments. And you've already put the kibosh.
Toronto. Well, I mean, that sounds fun. But I mean, like, what do we... This is just what we do now, are these trips?
And all the, and also...
Are there national parks to visit?
And I don't like...
European cities?
I would be a little bit more gung-ho about going if I liked where Toronto played. Yeah, I don't like their stadium.
It's indoors.
Yeah, I don't like their stadium, so who cares?
Yeah.
But one of the my favorite things about going to New York is when I'll be walking home on Granville and 75 people will pass me and I won't notice any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason in New York, I'm ultra alert about things.
It's your secret talent is spotting people.
I can spot celebrities like it's nobody's business in New York. The last time we went... Maybe, I don't know, it was one of the last time that we went together.
Yeah.
You usually go to the U.S. Open by yourself. I'm kind of horning in on your
we have a good friend who lives there that I go with.
We saw Matthew Broderick.
Mm-hmm. Just walking down the street carrying a CVS bag.
Katie Holmes.
Yes. Also just walking down the street.
Who apparently just broke up with Jamie Foxx.
We're going to come back to this Katie Holmes, Jamie Foxx thing. I have
Parker Posey.
Yes. Yeah.
I think
like filming a commercial or something.
And we saw one of the Kate Mara, like walking down the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We saw the guy that the New York morning TV host who used to make fun of on The Soup.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
That was years and years ago, though. Yeah. Yep.
That guy.
That was a good sighting.
I think my favorite ever New York sighting, though, was walking down the street and seeing the entire cast of the TBS television show My Boys. Remember that show,
yes,
My Boys?
I love that show, yeah.
With Jordan Spiro or whatever her name was.
Jordana Spiro.
And Jim Gaffigan.
The guy who played the DJ.
Reed Scott or whatever.
He's become like the biggest star from that cast.
Yeah. Is it Scott Reed or Reed Scott, the guy from Veep?
I think Reed Scott.
Yeah, it was just those guys. I'm like, oh, this is the cast from My Boys. Just chilling in New York. This is amazing.
That's a good sighting.
I didn't say anything. I did. There was one time I was walking and I saw Regina Spektor, the singer, filming a video. And I waited until she was done and I went up to her and I said, hi, Regina. I really like your music.
We always want to see someone iconic too. Like, we want to see Alec Baldwin or Regis, you know, like somebody.
Yeah.
Like super New York. Yeah. So, okay. So to just go back to Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx for a moment, one good sighting, you know, as we know, would be for us to see Tyler C, Tyler Cameron. I don't think I need to explain who that is anymore. He's become A-list. So he's dating Gigi Hadid. He was at the U.S. Open and he was spotted eating dinner, like a group of people eating dinner. Tyler, Gigi Hadid, some other people, and Serena Williams was eating with them too. I mean, this is big time. So they were eating at this restaurant, La Esquina, and that is where Katie Holmes was overheard talking about her breakup with Jamie Foxx, and that's how like the news broke.
Oh,
that they had.
Wow, that's so how that came
is,
out.
We need to go eat. I don't know anything about this place. It's probably like somewhere we would hate, and it's probably impossible to get into and really expensive. And it's I don't know. Anyway, but this is the hot spot of spotting celebrities in New York right now. Is this La Esquina restaurant?
I guess I don't like to.
We don't want to go to the hotspot. We want to see them walking down the street with their
right,
CVS
just,
bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just living their New York life. The guys are my boys, just, you know, walking down the street, you know, going to lunch or something. Yeah, I don't want to. Because at the U.S. Open, there's a good chance we'll see Regis. You know, he's always there.
And Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Is Regis okay? I feel like I haven't seen Regis in a while.
I know. I think he's laying low because he was always friends with Trump.
Oh,
we used to remember like watching, you know, I was a huge fan of Regis.
Yeah,
and
we went and saw
Kelly,
the taping of Regis and Kelly.
And he'd always talk, yeah, me and the Trumpster, we at the Yankees game last night, you know, he'd always talk about it. And like you were just, you'd laugh it off.
Right.
Like, oh, look at Regis being Regis. He's great. Now it's like, I don't like Regis if he's, you know, hanging around.
Regis
Trump.
Would have been a good name for Keith, our cat. Regis and Kathy Lee for some future fosters.
Yeah.
We could, if we had another situation where there was like one boy and a bunch of girls, we could do like Regis and be Regis and Kathy Lee and Kelly and Joy or something like that too.
And Ryan.
But write that down. Don't forget.
A lot of writing today. We're going to go to New York, hopefully spot some celebrities.
Yeah. Hopefully like our travel is easy. The airport's not too gross. we're flying into LaGuardia, but we're flying Delta, right? Aren't we?
I think so. Yeah.
So there's like,
I think it's the shuttle, right? Into the Marine hangar or whatever it is. So it's an easier LaGuardia than
Because LaGuardia is really gross, and I've seen people actually throwing up in the terminal. So that throw up is just like that's the perfect representation of what it's like to be at LaGuardia. But like if you fly Delta, if you don't know about this, this is our tip of the day. If you fly Delta New York, you get this separate little terminal. It's kind of like flying into a bar.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really small, and there's a bar in the middle, and
the terminal only serves Chicago, Boston. It might be Chicago and Boston. That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe one other city. It's like a really, really small.
It's super.
Yeah, it's
you just
easy.
Walk in. There you go. Yeah, it's really easy. So it eliminates a lot of the grossness.
The riffraff of the airport, which I hate going to because everybody is gross in the airport. And I hate everybody on my flight. I'm always nervous, too, because this is one where we may not sit together.
Oh,
we don't have our seat assignments.
Yeah.
So, you know, God knows who that you're gonna be next to.
I just rather, like, I'm fine with getting a cheap seat that we don't get assigned seats. I'd rather have that money to go to La Esquina for dinner. But usually we can talk them into, like, getting seats. But it's one of those things where you can get a cheaper ticket if you don't get an assigned seat. But whatever. We're going to be on the plane for, like, a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But I'll be watching, like, I'll be super prepared for the flight, have a bunch of stuff, multiple books, magazines.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of TV shows, downloaded movies.
For three cross-country flights.
Download on my phone. People maybe have done all that stuff too, but then we'd get on the plane and he just sits there.
Yeah, I don't know. I can just sit on a flight and just like stare at my seat.
He's one of those people. If you've ever had to sit next to those people,
especially if I have a window seat, but I'm fine. I'm fine on a flight, no matter how long it's just sitting and not looking at anything.
And obviously, I need my phone to look at my phone all the time. Constantly simulating.
Maybe seeing what other people are, what other movies, what other choices other people are making for their movie watching experience. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine just sitting there. If you have a great book recommendation.
Oh, my God. No, you need to.
Or a podcast.
No, your challenge is to read all the books that are on your nightstand. Please make sure to bring a really heavy one with us and have to carry around, too. This is also something that happens. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to New York. But this morning we had a very sporty morning, mm-hmm. Or sporty weekend, really. So
yeah, starting with yesterday's
the big Orange Theory dry dry.
Is it big? Is it big?
There's a lot at stake. We were talking last week about how, like, you know, number one, we love Orange Theory. Number two, we go to Orange Theory a lot and we're very, like, passionate about it and we think it's a great workout. We love all the people that we work out with. Yay. Number three, Orange Theory likes to do events and they don't always, like,
something's always missing.
Yeah, sometimes they're disappointing. So they get you, like, really pumped up for things, but then there's not, I don't know,
all the follow
through. Yeah, a good pay, that's payoff. Yeah,
because yeah, they did it for July, for like the last half of July, they did a thing called Roll Voyage, where you would keep track of how many meters you're rowing, and then they would tell you where you stood at the end of the month.
Yeah.
But then they kind of forgot about,
like,
it.
The other day in class, I was like, what happened to Roll Voyage?
Like, at, like, some classes, they would say, oh, yeah, make sure to put your rowing meters in the computer, and we'll keep track. And then other days, they wouldn't, or, I don't know, just mm-hmm. some things they do really well. Other times, it's like, eh.
Really, we're just there for the workout. These are just, like, things that extra motivation or whatever.
Yeah. Again, why am I caring about Roll Voyage anyway? But, yes.
So, yesterday was the dry try, which is a 2,000-meter row. 300 reps on the floor. So you do push-ups, burpees, plank jacks, bench tap squats, step-ups.
Hop-overs.
You do a bunch of those. And then you do a 5K. And we've done them a couple times before, uh-huh. and they're hard. I mean, like, they suck.
Yeah, they're super hard.
But they're also fun. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I like that you, like, it's the cheering that goes on, mm-hmm. like, as you're finishing, and that you're all in it together. And so I would, like, reach some point where I was doing, like, bench hopovers, and I was like, why am I doing, why is this the thing that I've decided that I do? When did I decide this? Why do I have to do this? This is not enjoyable. But then I was really happy that I did it at the end.
So about a month ago, they were like, hey, at the end of August, probably to coincide with the real triathlon.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. We might be giving them too much credit.
They're going to do a statewide dry try competition. So you sign up for the dry try at your studio, and then they take the top 7 people, male, female, and each age group, and the top 7 will go to the statewide competition, mm-hmm. which is going to be in Lakeview, and the strength and conditioning coach for the Cubs is going to coach the challenge or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, oh man, this sounds like fun. I like we've done the dry try before.
We
could win this thing.
Yeah, like when there's something at stake.
So we're the first two to sign up.
Well, they had already been talking to us about it. Like, coaches had already been like, you guys are going to do this, right? Like, they were getting us hyped up for it.
Again, though, which is fine. It's a fun competition. It's challenging. It's hard. But the night before, I'm like, I got to make sure I sleep, get enough sleep.
It wasn't until 12:30 the next day. Like, it took up our whole day yesterday.
But the night before, I'm worried about what I'm eating and making sure I get the sleep right. You were nervous about, I'm like, why are we nervous about a dumb dry
try? Days of talking to people that I run with. Well, now as we're even talking about this, I'm like, we've actually probably already, most of the people that are listening right now have already heard us talking about this. And they're like, oh my gosh, they're talking about that dumb dry try again.
All morning, my morning's altered. You were like, do you want to take the dogs? I'm like, no, I got to keep my feet up. I got a dry try to do.
And you've won it before a couple times, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't. Yeah, I came in first in our studio. Mm-hmm. So we did it.
And I'm wondering, like, what are the times that people are, like, what am I looking at if I want to qualify? So it's going to be statewide, the top 7 qualifying times by gender and age group. Mm-hmm. So by your division. So I'm like, what are the times that people are turning in? I'm going to know what I'm up against. Yeah. I wore my Garmin. I was like pacing myself.
You wore your fat shoes.
I wore my Vaporfly 4%, my like expensive marathon running shoes. I'm really into beet juice right now before important runs. I like did my beet juice. I did a shakeout run beforehand. Yeah. Not messing around.
But as it turned out, you came in first in our studio and set a studio record for time. You did it in 38 minutes.
I did.
All that stuff in 38 minutes. It's incredible. Although the second person who finished, he just strolled in. He just strolled in with no water bottle.
He didn't put any effort.
Probably didn't think about it until he woke up that morning. He's like, oh, yeah.
He woke up like 10 minutes before it started.
I think I signed up for that dumb dry try. Better go do it. And then he finished second.
Yeah, but I beat him.
In second. Well, you beat him. I didn't beat him.
You came in right after him. So.
Not really.
And our friend Rachel came in right after you. So it was a good morning. But I was really, so today I had to run 20 miles with my Kara running group. And it was fine. I actually felt, this is the second 20 miler I've done. I felt better this morning than I did on the last one, but I was really sore. Really, my abs are sore. My back is sore. My legs are sore. It's just different muscles. And I pushed myself so hard. So I was the last person off the rower in the dry try, but I was the first person onto the tread and then the first person off the tread. So that means that you do like rower, floor, tread. I did the floor exercises like a maniac, and I can barely sit down. I'm a wreck today.
Why though? Why?
So I know.
and this is the thing. So you won. So there's a good chance that you may be in the top seven. I mean, I think it's a pretty good score. So, I mean, it's statewide. So, I mean,
Who knows?
You know, you may not be, but there's a chance that you are in the top seven. So you'll be competing in the championship in Lakeview. And it's on September 14th, a day that you're already running a marathon.
So I was asking, what time is the dry?
Like, you're going to run a marathon in the morning and then do the Orange Theory dry trial.
Well, it's
at
like
night.
it's like doing an Ironman where you do a marathon length run and then you do ride your bike and you swim. So it's kind of, you know, it's like doing that. The problem is that I'm like, the times will work out, but I'll get really stiff. If I could just go straight into it, maybe I could do it. It's dumb. And I'll also be
yes,
up against other fast people. So with my state, I like won't be able to go as fast as.
And that'll be just disappointing, because then you're going to be, when if you get beat, you're going to say, well, I ran a marathon this morning. Did you run a marathon?
I was thinking I was running this morning too. Like, I could say, like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But then what if I would feel really bad? I wonder if they'll have alternates, like, ready. Because I'd feel really bad if, like, I was thought, like, I can do that. And then comes to the day and I'm like, I can't do this. And I took somebody's spot.
Yeah.
I feel bad. We'll see. I also was getting annoyed that I kind of held back on my 5K just a little bit. And sort of knowing that I had to run 20 miles a day. And I knew that I was going to win. Well, I saw the lead I have over the next person, so I was able to be a little bit more conservative. But I really wish I would have known the times that other people were turning in. Because I'm like, what if I could have run, I could have done like a minute faster.
Yeah, if you lose by a minute,
yeah,
you're going to be
upset.
But
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea like what you're up against. Okay, I'm embarrassed that these words come out of my mouth.
It's embarrassing that we care so that we care so much about this dumb dry try.
So yeah, okay. So now cut to today was the real triathlon,
right? Where we have actual friends doing a real competition
with that actually matters,
right? That matters. That have been training the whole summer,
and unfortunately, yeah. And so it's amazing how hard they worked, and a lot of people we know that were doing it. It was their first time, and the good old Lake Michigan that likes to ruin everything this summer was too choppy. The water was too choppy, and there's just so many people doing the triathlon. It just was too risky for them to allow people to swim today. So they cut the swimming, so it became a duathlon. So yeah, all of our friends who've like spent money on wetsuits and gym memberships or pools and time and effort and all that, like, couldn't actually do a real triathlon.
Yeah, when you woke up this morning,
I shouldn't say real, it was real, no, but a true triathlon.
Yeah.
I guess
when you woke up this morning to leave for your run, you told me that they canceled the swim portion, and like, my heart sunk.
Yeah.
Because I just felt so bad for our friends that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel weird about posting things on social media about working out. I think, I don't know, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's braggadocious.
Okay. No comment.
So I don't know. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And this is a me problem. I mean, people do it all the time. And a few of the people that were doing the triathlon, I enjoyed following their
training.
Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed it. So why am I scared of posting things when I actually enjoyed following?
Yeah, it can be inspiring or it can be just like informative.
Yeah. So, I spent all summer longer following our friends training mm-hmm. for this moment for yeah. you know, watching them swim, watching them bike, watching yeah. them run, you know, and then like to hear that, like, ah,
this is
that sucks that
this is doing things outdoors, and then when it's doing things outdoors in Chicago, that adds another like wrinkle to stuff. So
I went you were running your 20 miles this morning, so I went down I rode my bike down to Randolph, where like Randolph and Lakeshore Drive, where there's like it's like the bike section where they make the transition from the run to the bike, and I saw a couple of our friends, which was exciting. It was chaos down there though. It's these triathlons are like hardcore. People are they're running with their bikes, you know, yeah. to get to the mounting area. People are coming in on one side, leaving on the other side. There was a few crashes, you know. It's like hardcore.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of all this, the craziness of people going out running, but it's like wow, it's like your head spinning. Mm-hmm. It's going so crazy. I saw a guy riding a tandem bicycle.
So was he on by himself on the tandem bicycle?
No, he was with somebody okay. else. He had a backpack and a dog in his backpack, and I didn't see them at first. I heard somebody yelling, saying, "Hey, you got to get that guy. This is a race. You got to get that guy." And then somebody coming up to him and stopping him, saying, "Hey, what do you do? Don't you see that there's a like a real race
How
going
do
on here?
How did he get to that point? It's so closed off."
I don't know.
What was he thinking?
And then so he
that could not be more like all the things.
Yeah, I was like, of course, a guy on a tandem bicycle
with a dog.
His wife, girlfriend, or something was on the back. Somebody yelling at him, and then he seemed not apologetic as mm-hmm. as he should have been. And then they kind of ushered him off to the side to send him on his way. But like, What is happening here? I rode my bike and it was clearly marked where yeah. you can and cannot go, but yet there this bozo is. The whole trail is full of bozos.
I felt like we got some attitude this morning. Like a man just walking on the trail yelled at us, "Share the path!" And then somebody on a bike, like, we're always worried about like stepping in front of a bike or something, and we kind of like somebody in my group sort of like did that, and then, you know, we're like, we're sorry, and the guy, like, we got a big eye roll or whatever. I feel like the end of the summer, people are over it.
There is yeah, like I saw tons of really good runners, as you do on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Tons of, you know, people riding their bikes. Actually, it was good today because there's not a lot of a-hole bike riders today, because I think
they were all in the triathlon.
And then right near Cricket Hill on Montrose Beach, there's the one guy who was like in the path with his remote control helicopter. I was like, hey, come on, guy. This is a huge, I know the park is for everyone, but why are you standing in the bike lane with your remote control helicopter? And a grown man, not like with a kids or a family or anything.
Dorky in just the open grass, like yeah. just dorky, like, and rude. And
yeah,
path.
Come on. So yeah. So anyway, so I saw a couple of our friends that were running doing the triathlon, but there was another person, Stephanie, who I wanted to see, mm-hmm. and we were kind of keeping track of them via text to where they were, and I was able to kind of figure out where she was. So I'm like, all right, so she's on the bike now. It's too crazy to see her come back on the bike. I'm gonna like ride my bike over to the area where after they make their transition back to the last run, mm-hmm. I found a great area where she's gonna run right by me and do a perfect spot. I'm keeping track of, you know, the text. I'm like, all right, she just finished her bike. She should be here in 5-10 minutes, you know, however long the transition yeah. takes. In this time, though, I get the tap on the shoulder, uh-huh. and I turn around, and it's the family that adopted our foster cats, Midge and Susie.
Yeah.
And she's like, hi, you know, and I'm like, I know you look familiar. I've seen you on Instagram. I know I've seen you in person.
Well, and I've met them a lot more times than you have, too. I've just met them once.
And she's like, hi, we adopted Midge and Susie. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then I recognized her husband because, uh-huh. you know, but then I was like looking at my phone. I'm like, she's like, how's it going? Is Molly running? I'm like, no, a couple of other friends. I'm looking down at my phone. I'm looking at the course. I didn't have a chance to ask them about the cats.
I know. I'm like, what is, I want to know about her, the cats.
I think she's coming like any moment here, you know, like I'm getting nervous. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm just trying to like, you know, pay attention. I'm seeing, making sure I see the
friend. They're telling the same story, but it's very different. It's like, we ran into the guy whose cats we adopted. He was really weird.
I know. That's what I mean. It was like, I mean, I was nice. I would maybe rate it as a 3 as far as social interaction. It wasn't totally a nightmare, but it wasn't great.
Yeah.
During this time, I think when I was like, had my back turned, I think this is where I missed Stephanie went by. So not only did I not see Stephanie, I've looked like a dummy.
Interaction failure in every way.
I just rode my bike back home with my head down.
So we're recording in our dining room, and there's big windows that go out into our deck, and then there's like another building behind us, and so like you could see us like with our like headphones on or mm-hmm. microphones or whatever, and some neighbors that like some new neighbors that live behind us just like were walking down their like back their stairs or whatever, and they're both just like staring and they're like, what are they doing?
We're doing a fake radio show. Oh, look at those kids in there playing radio. It's fun.
This is how they like talk to each other. They use like microphones. They're really like look really perplexed. What's going on? So the other thing we did this weekend is we went to a neighborhood block party, and I think it's the first time we've gone to a block party, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, like block parties are a thing.
Yeah, they've been a thing.
Are they just is that a Chicago thing? Are they in other places too? Is it just an Edgewater thing?
No, it's a Chicago thing.
It's all over?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to one.
No, before. I haven't been to one.
I think too, like, because we don't have kids. Like,
yeah, it's I mean, you know, they have bouncy houses and block off the streets for fun and games, and there's chalk people write on the streets in chalk, and it's mostly for kids to run around and the parents to sit around and drink.
Yeah,
essentially.
So we live in a neighborhood where every block there's like a lot of pride about your block.
Yeah.
Around here.
This is weird. I'm Team Norwood. Yeah, I'm Team Glenwood.
I'm Team Glen Lake. There's a lot of like rivalries of who has the best block parties.
Yeah. But it goes even to what's the best block for trick or treating.
Yes.
There's a lot of
pride. That's what I meant to ask about last night, if like who was into like the trick or treating, because there's blocks that like where it just is full all out for the trick or treating and the displays and mm-hmm. the yards and the setups that you have. And we don't live on one of those blocks. We live kind of on a weird like the end. We live on a street where most of the houses face like north south, but ours face east. It's like the end of a block. Somehow there's like a little end cap of mm-hmm. houses, and so we don't have a block party because we're not really a block.
We don't have a block,
but we get invited, I guess, to the blocks around us, whatever.
We do.
Yeah, we get like flyers for block parties that are around us. I feel like we're always out of town or something. So we're like, okay,
it's funny because I've never known that we've been invited to any other block parties.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, we'll go to the block party. We're like allowed to go to this block party, but our friends invited us, and we enjoyed like they used to be in charge. They've lived on the block for a long time, and they used to be in charge of the block party. So they had these amazing stories about the years when they did the block party, and it just sounded like they burned out on it. But they had, I mean, it was just like the list went on and on of all the things that they would have. So they had a pony rides. They had an exotic animal petting zoo. They had the Jesse White tumblers. They had like the entrance of the block would be like a huge balloon like arch thing.
Yeah. They would have Singh did a wine tasting.
Yeah. Pet parades. Flamingo dancers.
Yeah.
It was just like they couldn't. It was just like they were pulling like a scarf out of a hat that just like kept coming of all the things they had done. It was incredible. All the things they had done. I'm like, oh, I wish we could have. Too bad we didn't. But also just sitting here is nice.
It was.
So I think they realized that also just sitting there was nice, and that you didn't have to do all of that.
When I think of a block party, I think of a bouncy house with kids riding their bicycles and playing, mm-hmm. and parents in a circle talking and drinking wine.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this was.
And dads with like a koozie at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And our alderman like grilling up street meats.
Yeah. He's like, our alderman who's very aldermany. was manning the grill. His dog was like going around being crazy off leash. And yes, he's manning the grill, and he comes over and he's like, we've got burgers, we've got hot dogs, we've got brats, we've got different kinds of burgers, just like every type of meat.
But I think it's fun that, you know, this is the block party where our alderman is, yeah, he's the, well,
he
cook.
Lives, this is his block.
But yeah, yeah, but still, you know.
Yeah. No, it's, I like that, like the, it's very local.
Does Glen Lake have the, does alderman go to the Glen Lake one? No, because he goes to the Norwood one.
They had done Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so anyway, just like the list would go on and on and on of who, of the things they had done.
And I know the alderman is very alderman-y, but I also feel... He just said, hey, I'm Harry. He didn't say, I'm the alderman of your neighborhood or anything. He just said, but everybody knows he's the alderman. So everybody was just hassling him about,
yeah,
hey, what's going on with that old building? Hey, what are you doing about these restaurants? You know, this guy's just at his block party cooking meats. Leave him alone. He's off the clock.
It was the first time we had met him. Yeah, there was a lot. I was happy with some things I talked to him about, like that where his focus was. I felt like it was good what he was thinking, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't think I have a. I was never like a kid that got in trouble in school or anything. Like, I don't have a problem with like authority, but there's something about like living in Chicago. You're just always on like edge about things, like,
yeah,
like challenging stuff. Mm-hmm. I think is more of what it is. And so just like having a pleasant conversation with him turned into me being like,
yeah,
feeling like I wanted to like, yeah, pick a fight with
you're
him.
You're peppering him. Make this what about this restaurant? What about make this, yeah, more like Logan's? Where do you go out when you
being mean. It was like my chance to talk to him, and it's suddenly like all the things I'd been feeling good and bad about the neighborhood was just like flooding out of me.
And as soon as there was a break
I was respectable.
A break in the conversation, he was like, hey, is that a Texas Tech hat you're wearing?
Yeah,
he just anything that he wanted to do to not talk about politics.
Talk about,
yeah,
the neighborhood.
In fact it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't feel bad about what I said.
No,
I was like,
you were respectful.
I felt like these are things that I wanted to, there were important, and that, yeah, I wanted to talk to him about, but yeah, there was something like triggering about it for me.
I know. At some point I was like, all right, well, you guys just need to set up a meeting and do it at the alderman's office.
No, we're just like, he's got an audience of people that care about their neighborhood, that are creative, that have good ideas, mm-hmm, and are passionate about, yeah, things and want the best for their neighborhood. And so it's a chance to pick people's, I feel like that's a great opportunity for him to pick people's brains about things. He said to us, he's like, let me know what,
yeah,
you wish that we had
very,
in the neighborhood.
He was very receptive.
I want to know. And so I just was trying to get an idea of like what vision he had for,
yeah,
for the new retail, the new restaurants, whatever.
Yeah.
That like what he felt like we, I want to keep things as local, like super local. I want to be able to walk to everything.
Yeah, so of course. That's what everybody wants, I think, in their neighborhood.
Yeah, if I'm spending most of my time going to other neighborhoods to do things, to spend my money or whatever, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So what are we missing that we need to fill?
Yeah.
Though he was asking me questions. We were looking at these from different perspectives, where for me, it was my chance like to talk to the alderman. Yeah. And for him, it's just a chance to grill some burgers.
Right. He just wants to sit out and enjoy a cocktail and have some gyros.
Oh, yeah. That was...
But yeah. So, yeah. No, yeah. He was very nice. We'd ask him a question. He'd say, oh, that is a great question. That's a great question.
He's a pro.
Yeah. He's a politician. It was very good. And yeah, I thought he was very respectful to, I mean, he knows everybody. I think we probably were the only people that he didn't know on the block. You know,
yeah,
he's friends with all these people.
Yeah, so it was good to go to the block party to meet some other white people in the neighborhood. And I mean, the Alderman. Delightful. It was a lovely night. That's a really pretty block. Like,
the block is amazing.
Trees.
Yeah.
So check that off the summer bucket list. Block.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's enough for today.
So before we
oh
go.
Wait, yeah, let's keep it local just a couple more minutes, and then we'll sign up.
I was going to do a quick next door update. Before I do, I want to something that I saw on the internet that I thought was extremely funny. Robert Feeder, who is the local media columnist in town, This is the place where you go to find out if you still have a job. If you work in the media, that's how you usually find out.
That's another trigger for me hearing the name Robert Feeder. I'm like, oh, makes me nervous.
He writes, you know, a column about what's going on in radio, television, news, you know, locally. And he wrote a column this week about how there is a show on WGN TV that honors Walter Payton. Walter Payton, one of the greatest football players, if not the greatest football player of all time, played for the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. a legend, deserves a special 20 years after he died. He died of cancer or something.
Yeah.
Like, he's only 45 mm-hmm. years old. I mean, he was just, you know, and people hold on to
beloved.
This guy. Yeah, he's a beloved Chicago athlete. So Channel 9 is doing a special on him called Savoring Sweetness. It's going to be on in September. So, you know, an informative piece. But the best thing about these columns are the comments. I don't know. It's like the weird. For some, media is so important to some people that the comments, there's always crazy. Like, why do you care who the noon anchor is on WBBM 8? You know, like, why is this important to you?
Yeah.
So there's, you know, a lot of comment about, like, oh, forever the best, truly the greatest of all time, the GOAT. Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait. Walter was a great football player, but more importantly, a great man. Cannot wait to see the show. I mean, these are glad Channel 9 is doing something like this. This is mm-hmm. great. And then Mike Batista wrote, miss him every day. What?
Don't understand if it was Walter Payton was his dad.
Right.
Or husband.
Is he a family member?
What kind miss of him every day.
Every morning I wake up.
He's got like an altar to him.
I think that we've lost the best football player of all time.
This must be the most Chicago thing we've said today.
What kind of normal human being misses Walter Payton every day other than a family member? Miss him every day. All right. Good job, Mike Bautista. So quickly, a next door update. There was somebody who was selling off a fine collection of pipes.
What kind of pipes? Like traditional ones or like pot?
No, like you know, pretentious pipes.
Like long ones? Like
people that are pretentious smoke. Okay. Make an offer. Minimum of $100, though, and they included a picture of like 15 pipes, and then another one where a guy just says, "Is anybody available to play tennis today at 735 North Washington Avenue? Is there a park there?"
No, it sounds like a trap.
Yeah. Is he going to just steal your tennis racket?
I'm
when
in
you
the
show
basement.
Up?
Just come in. There's a tennis court in my basement.
And then Suzanne Plunkett, lost chicken. Exclamation point. Yesterday, our black hen either escaped our yard in the 6101 block of Rockwell or was stolen, and we are heartbroken. She has a bear patch on her back. If you see her, please message me here or call my number. Thank you very much. He posted a picture of mm-hmm. the chicken. As you can see, it's a lovely looking oh, yeah. chicken. So then that was at 307, 407. Found her.
Was she under a chair or under like a credenza in their house like all the cats are?
She flew over our fence and was in our next door neighbor's yard. Shouldn't you look there first before you're posting on the
yes our cat lemur gets out into the yard every now and then. We have a very fenced in yard that goes all the way down to the bottom, and so he can get some sun. We'll supervise him, he can get some sun, it's safe. But he has like gotten the neighbor, and it's just like we just go around the corner and there he is just like
sitting there. Yeah. you have your hen is in the back, you look, it's gone. I'm like, oh my god, let's go to next door and post something and post a picture and then go. No, like look in your neighbor's yard. But thankfully the chicken has been found.
Yeah, I'm glad.
The black hen, excuse me. All right, so that's it for Molly and Pete Save Everything.
Don't
for
forget
this week.
To tell your friends
oh, yeah,
to
tell
listen.
All your friends.
Rate and review
coworkers.
Us on iTunes. Listen
post
to
it on social media.
Pete's other podcast.
Do Instagram stories. Talk about it on Strava. Do you do that on Strava? Can you talk about podcasts on Strava?
You could say you were listening to it while you were running.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or
yeah.
riding your bike. Or, yeah.
And then you can find me at WGN Radio Extension 720 with Justin Kaufman. We also do a daily podcast called Laura Wecker Live, where Justin does a funny take on the day's headlines. And where can we find you, Molly?
You can find me on Strava at Molly with an I-E, M-O-L-L-I-E, green.
Maybe not this month.
I'll still be uploading my runs,
though. Oh, that's social media.
I just automatically do it from my Garmin, so... Oh.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you.
A lot of asterisks to this social media fast.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends and supporting. And we'll talk to you when we get back from New York.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm up at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot. 560. State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street. Off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy. Home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard. And I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata. Still sipping my top. Sitting courtside. Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.